Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. Here we are already. It's Thursday in Holy Week.
It's not Advent.
What did I say? Here we are, right? It's moving. It's like we just started, and now here we are, and it goes so fast. And when we go to Mass this weekend, it will be the second week in Advent. Well, we certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And remember, you know, you can always listen to our show as EWTN Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. You might be out in the car, you might be doing things at the house, and you might, you know, I need some spiritual enrichment. I'm going to listen to EWTN as a podcast. Well, today we're going to be welcoming back Father Franklin Formukang to our show. Now, Father Franklin is originally from Cameroon, West Africa, where he grew up in a Catholic family, being the sixth of seven children. He studied at St. John Mary Vianney Spiritual Center and then to St. Thomas Aquinas Major Seminary in Cameroon, which is an affiliate to the Pontifical Urban University in Rome. He was ordained a priest and a gift to the church on April 15th, 2004. We are ever so grateful for his yes. He now serves as a missionary to the Diocese of Birmingham since 2018 and currently serves as the administrator to two churches here in Alabama, St. Charles Borromeo in Jacksonville and St. Joachim in Piedmont. And he is also the spiritual director to Arise Worship Ministry in Birmingham, Alabama, and the Catholic Women's Association of Atlanta. Today, he will join us in our conversation on properly engaging with the beauty of the Advent season and how it serves as a gift to the church in preparation for the beautiful season of Christmas. Amen. So we're excited to have him. He and Father John Paul yesterday was just lovely to have those two holy men with us.
So what are we preparing for? Who are we preparing for? Advent 1, the King is coming to be the judge of the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Mm. We don't want to shrink back, but we want to behold his appearing. And God with skin, God made poor, God with a face. In the incarnation, the nativity and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Our guest today is Father Franklin Formukang, and sharing with us about the season of Advent, and as we're moving closer to Christmas from yesterday to today, also to share about the Incarnation and Christmas and your reflections on that. But Father, about 30% of the people who watch this show didn't see the first show, and you shared so many wonderful things, so I'd like you just kind of in a nutshell to share some of what you were speaking about yesterday.
Thank you once more having me on your show. I'll go back immediately to looking at the what I call the five P's.
Love it, yeah.
Which is so good for the season of Advent. And by five P's, I mean proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Which implies if we want to get a good performance at Christmas, Advent is that time, that opportunity of proper preparation. Mm-hmm. And so the church gives us those 4 weeks to do this great, go through this great spiritual, human, preparation for the gift that comes with Christmas.
Thank God for the season of Advent. And it's always nice to share that with our Protestant brothers and sisters. And I try to bring that up at the YMCA that I go to. I try to kind of slide in the Catholic faith a little bit and speak about, you know, happy Advent and so on. And they're kind of like, well, what are you talking about? Or Christmas, and continuing to say blessed Christmas to you after Christmas time. Same thing with Easter, the season. And I find that people are open to that. I said, well, they said, we don't know what you're speaking about. Well, don't you think that Christmas deserves a little bit more preparation? You know, and explaining that to them. That's what I'm doing during the season. That's what it means for me to be a Catholic. And most people say, you know, that makes sense, because we usually just jump into it, or that we extend reflection upon the resurrection of the Lord, that there's an Easter season, happy Easter, blessed Easter to them. And so we don't want a poor performance.
No.
what would that mean, a poor performance? I mean, for the meeting of the Lord in his nativity and incarnation, a poor performance in what? Advent 1, not being right for the coming of the Lord? Is that what you're saying?
Talking about the coming, the first thing we should draw attention also to is that Advent is not just a word in the abstract.
Right.
Okay? From Adventus means coming. Mm-hmm. And for every coming, there is an expectation. There is a preparation. There is some anxiety about what you're expecting to come. How do students prepare for exams? Exams don't just happen. There is a time to prepare for that. Parents prepare to welcome back their son who has probably traveled overseas. There's all this preparation. Seminary, 9 years of preparation before you're ordained. Mm-hmm. How couples prepare before they get married. Mm-hmm. It's not just that event, but what it takes to get to that moment.
Yeah.
So that is really intense. And I think that's what we're calling for as a church in this season of Advent that brings us to the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. God whom we can see, we can touch, we can see the baby's face. Mm-hmm. Like every other child, he comes like we came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poor, humble, just a human. But King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Revelation chapter 19, mm-hmm. verse 16, that's who he is.
Yes.
You know, even in the Holy Eucharist, St. Thomas Aquinas says, sight, touch, and taste, we are deceived. That is God. Mm-hmm. What we see is bread, touch is bread, taste is bread, but that's not bread. That's God in flesh. The bread has become human because that's how he came in the beginning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this whole journey is one of intensive move in order to receive this precious gift at Christmas. And if we say Christ must not be taken out of Christmas because he is the reason for the season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When sometimes I hear people say to me, oh, Father, we don't really have to bother about Jesus himself. It's just a time of lights. It's a time to be happy. It's just a time. I say, oh, no, why don't you just put up Christmas trees in June or in May, which is good summer time? Yeah. Why is it reserved for this particular time? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just those lights. It's because the light of light is coming. Mm-hmm. So there's a deep, intense, there is something more, and that is Jesus.
Yes.
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with
The Father.
That's the Nicene Creed, right?
Yes, exactly.
And we're celebrating
mm-hmm. We are right on it.
So
right.
Profound.
1,700 years when that was declared and properly defined. Mm-hmm. We are just living that reality right now.
Because it's good and true and beautiful, and it's eternal. It goes on and on. It knows no time and space. and it's there for us. And so we, as a people of God, we have to prepare ourselves with great anticipation in hoping and longing, because we know, every human being knows, that there's more. There must be more. And we can, as we can saturate ourselves with the goods of this world, they will never come in comparison with that interior journey, with that intimacy, whom we behold and whom we consume when we receive the Eucharist. We know that to be everything that our heart's crying out for.
Absolutely everything we are longing for. Mm-hmm. And with what Jim just said, if there was no second coming, there'll be no point to refer to this as the first coming. Mm-hmm. It would have just been coming. But if we say first coming, it's because there must be a follow-up second.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the second coming gives us a backup to even our gospel of Matthew chapter 24. You know, we talk about stay awake because he will come at an hour you do not expect. So that is being alert. That's being on your guard, being watchful. No one goes to sleep if he knows. That's scripture story. If he knows your house is going to be burgled, you're going to stay awake, and not just being awake, we're going to be awake as in being alert in case of anyone trying to come in. And that's the same picture Jesus is giving us himself in scripture about that second coming. And this is what John the Baptist, if we go to some of the characters, John the Baptist is that voice crying out in preparation for this first coming.
What's he saying?
Make his path straight. Level up. This is not engineering. This is not about road work. This is about our spiritual life.
Right.
This is about our spiritual life. This is about our human life. How much we relate to each other. I always ask, even for those who say they do not believe, why is Christmas a time of gifts? Gift is reaching out. It's charity. There is love in that. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse 13. There are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And those are also represented in all these candles.
Yes.
And the greatest of them is love.
Yeah.
That's why we share gifts. We share humanity. We share the peace of Christ. Remember that song that came from heaven with the birth of Christ? Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to people who enjoy his goodwill.
Yes.
That song came and met us on earth because peace has been born to us. Love has become incarnate. Reaching out to one another is sharing love. There is a certain present, which is presence. Presence is the greatest present we can sometimes give to someone.
Yes.
Well, the way you're sharing is something that we need to remember and not just kind of curse the world and what they're doing. Because you're saying there's still a lot of truth and God in what they're doing, even though it's so secular, because it's written on their hearts. Gifts, giving, love.
Light.
They may not believe in the Prince of Peace, but they want peace. The nations of the world want peace. And so we can take that which they're sharing. It's kind of like, let me tell you about this God that's unknown to you, but you're trying to express him in so many ways, because it's written. John Paul II said, don't be afraid to share the gospel of life, because people may not know that phrase, but the gospel of life is already written upon their hearts. Use the little bit that they know, the little bit that they're doing, and say, let me explain to you a more full, a better way. Affirm as much as you can, and then lead them deeper into the Lord. Speak to us about evangelization, building bridges with people at this time, instead of just putting people, you know, sometimes we could be like spiritual snobs, but they really don't know this, blah, blah, blah. But they're giving you so many places to hang the hanger on them. You know what I'm saying? Like, to hang the clothes of Christ on them. How do we share, evangelize, witness at this time to our loved ones, friends?
In one of the documents of Vatican II, Evangelium Nuntiani, there's this phrase, we could almost say it by heart in the seminary because it was so often repeated, you know. Modern man listens more to witnesses than to teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they listen to teachers at all, it's because they are witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's good. Mm-hmm.
This brings me back to something I read just about 2 days ago on Pope Leo. You know, when he was a priest, on a Sunday, he gave this great homily, and he thought it was a great homily. But while he was walking out, an elderly woman held his hand and said, "Father, your sermon was good. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, your silence by the bedside of the sick woman spoke more." Mm. Okay, your sermon is good.
Yeah.
But your silence yesterday at the bedside of the sick woman spoke more.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us could be a living Bible.
Yeah.
We do not know who is reading. Our kind actions, our smiles even, could be a gospel we are relating. Our presence to the poor, to the weak, the suffering, the childless, okay? The orphans and the widows, it's the gospel proclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is even more eloquent. Mm. And that's what the world today really needs.
Yes.
Bridging all the gaps between cultures, people, nations. It's just people meeting. Mm-hmm. It's people talking.
Yes.
It's communication. It's dialogue.
Yes.
It's sharing. It's being in the life of the other person.
Yeah.
There could be no better Christmas card than this.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Being a human Christmas card.
Yes.
Could just be. Could change someone's life.
And being a credible witness to a world that is longing. And we just got to pray that God would lift the veil from their eyes and they could see and hear how much God loves them. You know, people don't believe God loves them. It's like, yes, he does. Jesus loves you. It's like, no, he can't. Yes, he does.
He does.
You know, and we have to bring that faith and that hope and that love and be a credible witness all the time. But especially during this season when people are looking for signs. We're all looking for signs. We don't want to miss the opportunity to be a bold witness for him.
Father, we just have about a minute. Just share whatever you want our family to hear at this time of preparation, moving closer to the incarnation and nativity of our Lord.
One of the phrases I want to also leave on is, the happiest people in the world are not those who have the best of everything, but those who make the best of everything they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Say that again.
The happiest people in the world are not those who have the best of everything, but those who make the best of everything they have.
Yes.
The joy of today's society comes from thanking God for the troubles we do not have, rather than always complaining about the troubles we got. That mindset of perspective brings us to our faith and makes us to look forward to this great gift of Christmas. And it will be a joyful gift, a wonderful one, and the way we receive him in the first coming, I think it will be a great one to receive him in the second coming.
Amen, Father.
Well, we thank God for your life. Thank you for being a priest, saying yes, and for being a missionary to our nation and throughout the whole world. God bless you.
Thank you, Father.
We love you, Father.
Thank you. God bless you.
Pray that you're being built up by Father's teaching and bring to us the true meaning of this season of Advent and preparation, that we would have a good performance in meeting the Lord face to face when we pass from this life or if he comes again. And as we practice his presence perpetually, day by day, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Love me now. As you do it now, so you'll do it then. If you're not doing it now, you won't be ready for then. The Lord is all for us. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Welcome back. Father John Paul is here with us to give his thoughts on the sharing with Father Franklin. Or you could just share whatever you want to share, because yesterday was just so incredibly powerful, just your own life, the passage of your father, meeting the Holy Father. It's like, whoa.
I know we need to do a whole series on that.
We shall.
We do.
It'd be fun. Well, I just looking at a candle. I love candles. I think the employees know when they go past my office, my Eulatian employee chaplain office, I usually always have a candle lit. And one of our friars, Father Anthony in formation, I remember him telling us that he wanted us to be like a candle that glows and is steady, and he didn't want us to be like a blowtorch. A blowtorch will eventually run out of gas. But he wanted us as a Christian to be like a steady candle that, you know, it's steady and it can, in a way, if you look at it, when you have a little bit of wind, the candle can bend. It doesn't it doesn't go out, but the candle can bend within a storm, you know. So that's kind of an image of how we can be in the midst of the world. We can, you know, go into life's challenges and what life throws at us, but our candle is not meant to be extinguished. It's meant to burn bright, brightly and in a steady way. I loved what he said about being a witness. I love that quote from Pope St. Paul VI, that modern world listens to more readily to witnesses than it does teachers. But if it does listen to teachers, it's first because they're a witness. You know, my mom said to us growing up, be careful the way that you live your life. You may be the only Bible that your neighbor will read. You know, she had that on her kitchen wall. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, the example of the story of the woman coming up to Pope Leo and saying that your presence spoke more more than words, more than your homily, more than your sermon. Your simple presence being present at the bedside of a dying woman, that's the gospel.
Amen. Right. That's the gospel in action.
And we can all do that.
Right.
Not just those of us who are priests to provide the sacraments, but there's people right now who are watching that have a loved one who is sick that can go simply visit them at their home, visit them in the hospital, visit them in a nursing home. I know what it's like to go in nursing homes my whole life. And there's people waiting for you to come visit them.
Right.
Go.
Could be what the Lord's calling people to do in the season of Advent. Yeah. Father, close us with a blessing, please.
Family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he turn his face to you and be merciful to you. May he show you his kindness and give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. I pray that you've been encouraged today. Two holy priests just sharing their hearts and faith, how precious it is to be nurtured in this way. You're an important part of the EW10 family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. May this be the greatest Advent of your life.
Amen.
Bye now.